Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you are with us here. The 20th day of November may start to feel just a little bit more like it, like November, that is. Today, we're going to have a little bit cooler temperatures. Nothing like yesterday, although Carl pointed out to me it's supposed to be 60 as a high again on Sunday.
Yep.
But I do think it's going to be cold from this point forward, and certainly we probably had the last great day yesterday, if I had to guess, for this year, the last big, sunny, beautiful day. Hopefully you got outside and enjoyed it. I mentioned this earlier, Kim. I'm going to brag again about my little girl. Yesterday, when I probably should have been hanging Christmas lights, because my wife's been pressuring me to do that, instead, I helped my daughter deliver probably 150 boxes of diapers to a women's shelter down in, I take no credit for it. I was just the transporter. I used my truck to help her transport them.
Oh, that wasn't for you. That was for her.
Thank you. I was very proud of her. She started a Students for Life a group at her school, and they did a diaper drive to help out women who've made the correct choice and allowed their children to be born, and they need that extra help. And they said, God answers your prayers, right? I mean, he gave them what they needed because mm-hmm. they were getting low on diapers, and we backed the truck up and unloaded 150 boxes.
I just think that's so great that not only did Ginger start that group at her school, because I'm sure she got pushback from her classmates, maybe even some of her close friends, but that she also did the diaper drive, because I think there's this false narrative that goes around, specifically from the pro-abortion side, that say you never do anything to help women. You know, you force them to choose life and then you just abandon them. And that just couldn't be farther from the truth. There's so many resources out there and great groups that want to help the women who want to choose life. And that's just an example of it, you know, doing these diaper drives to help with some of those costs.
Well, I was very, very proud of my young lady yesterday, and it kind of encourages you when you see things like that. We went down and dropped those off at Our Lady's Inn down in South City, and they were very thankful for it. So I'm glad we were able to help out, and thanks to all the people at her school who donated those diapers, for sure. Coming up, we'll get to Genevieve Wood. Speaking of that issue, which is abortion, a bunch of major companies, like top 40 companies in America, provide travel compensation for abortion if there are restrictions in your particular state. I mean, when is this wokeness going to end? It's ridiculous. We're going to talk to Genevieve about that coming up at 7:20 this morning. Next hour, we'll get to our friend Charles Payne. He's back. He's been busy with his book tour and all that, but we've actually got him today to talk a little bit more about the markets and what he's expecting after the big win by Donald Trump. The markets reacted great the next day, but it'll be interesting to see with some of these trade talks, and the Commerce Secretary's now been named. We're going to get to Charles for you coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned for that. First, though, I want to get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The moment that President Trump puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath of office, as he has said, the occupation ends, Liberation Day begins.
Yeah, Stephen Miller there, who of course is going to be like Deputy White House Chief of Staff, is he's a force to be reckoned with, and I'm going to let you listen to what all he says will be the top priorities minutes after President Trump gets sworn in on January 20th.
A global conflict between nuclear armed powers would mean death and destruction on a scale unmatched in human history. It would be nuclear Armageddon.
Yeah, President Trump obviously a little worried with what's going on in the Ukraine, given the fact that the current occupant or whoever's instructing him at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue gave Ukraine the go-ahead to lob bombs into Russia.
100% going to stand in the way of any man who wants to be in a women's restroom, in our locker rooms, in our changing rooms. I will be there fighting you every step of the way.
Yeah, that's Nancy Mace. She said she's an assault victim herself. And in regards to a new trans congressperson who just got elected wanting to use the women's bathroom, she said, think again.
You have a legal.
I do have a legal note. Thank you, Whoopi.
I do have a legal note. Thank you, Whoopi. Sunny Hostage, I'm going to start calling her, because she looked like she was being held hostage yesterday when she had to read this note regarding their diatribe a few days ago about Matt Gaetz, right? I mean, here's what the left will do. They will judge, jury, executioner. They will try you and never let you speak. They would never have Matt Gaetz on their show to defend himself. So apparently at some point they crossed the line, and the Gaetz people sent them a note that said, you will correct this statement and you will read it verbatim or we'll sue you. So that's what Sonny Hostin had to do on the View. I know you probably don't watch The View every day, so we try to cover these issues for you so you don't have to, because nobody should be subjected to that. But here's how it went down yesterday when they finally got around to the legal issue.
Great. Sonny, you have a legal note.
I do have a legal note. Thank you, Whoopi. Matt Gaetz has long denied all allegations, calling the claims, quote, invented, and saying in a statement to ABC News that this false smear following a 3-year criminal investigation should be viewed with great skepticism, that DOJ investigation was closed with no charges being brought.
We'll be right back.
Sonny has to go scream into a pillow.
Yeah. It was kind of uncomfortable to watch too, because she was just staring stone faced into the camera when she read that statement, because that's not kind of how they expected that whole thing to go down.
Good thing for the Gaetz team for doing that.
Well, I'm glad, right? I'm glad that they were forced to do that, or that they forced them to do it at the very least. Whatever you think of Matt Gaetz, trying him in the public for something a criminal court was not willing to try him over is not fair. That's not fair game. This ethics committee thing that they're going to try to release on him, that's not right. He's no longer a member of Congress. It had political overtones to begin with, because a lot of people there didn't like him because of what he did to Kevin McCarthy. And therefore, they started this ethics investigation into allegations that were never proven in a court of law. And in the ethics committee, they don't have to be proven in a court of law. So it's all hearsay and she said, he said, and they rarely get an opportunity to defend themselves. And that's what they'll try to do in cutting the legs out from under Matt Gaetz. But I think it's important that you understand the concern at the DOJ. They're apparently, there's abject panic going on over there about what might happen if Matt Gaetz or someone like him becomes the attorney general. Listen to cut number 8 here, Carl, please.
I think it's legitimate. I've talked to people who are closer to DOJ than I am who say that the fear and terror is real, not just among top DOJ officials, including special counsel Jack Smith and his team. We could talk about his being a flight risk and leaving, as Mark Zayed is recommending top targets to flee the country around Inauguration Day. Just crazy talk. But that even lying prosecutors are terrified that they are going to be investigated, which they should, for violating the 1A, 4A, 5A, 6A, 8A constitutional rights of January 6th defendants conspiring with the FBI and federal judges to deny due process to Americans, most the overwhelming majority of whom had no criminal record, committed no crime, but nonetheless had their lives destroyed at the hands of this bloodthirsty DOJ led by Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, and of course the DC U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves.
Yeah, Julie Kelly there on with Bannon yesterday. I thought she made some great points about all the rights that have been violated by this DOJ related to January 6th, for sure. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Genevieve Wood from Heritage. Stay tuned.
The moment that President Trump puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath of office, as he has said, the occupation ends, Liberation Day begins. He will immediately sign executive orders, sealing the border shut, beginning the largest deportation operation in American history, finding the criminal gangs, rapists, drug dealers, and monsters that have murdered our citizens and sending them home.
Stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Our friend Genevieve Wood back with us from the Heritage Foundation. And Genevieve, I love Stephen Miller's energy there. Unfortunately, it's going to be a little late for Lake and Riley and the other victims of these criminal illegals around the country, right?
That's right. But you're right. I absolutely appreciate his passion. I appreciate President-elect Trump's commitment to this, because anybody who's been following these stories, especially the most recent news is coming out this week about Lake and Riley and what happened there and how senseless it all was, Mark. I mean, this guy came into the country. He crossed the border illegally. They let him go. They just paroled him into the country. He makes his way to New York City. He gets in trouble there for going after a kid who's under 17 years old, gets arrested, but gets paroled again. And then ask our government to fly him to Atlanta on one of these humanitarian flights. That's how he gets there. And then he goes out and he kills this one. I know it's just alleged right now, but we all know he did it. And it destroys his family, the Riley family's life, by taking their 22-year-old daughter. It's just horrific. And again, senseless. This is somebody who should have never been in this country. He should have never been in New York City. He should have never been in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's an outrage that we have paid for this guy.
Paid for his
travel across this country.
Not only that, but also the roommate was testifying that he was staying at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York.
Right.
And unless there's somehow a second Roosevelt Hotel that I am not aware of, that's a 4-star hotel that, man, I'm sure a lot of people would never even be able to afford. And they were staying there up for free.
That's right. That's right. So we're paying for his hotel. We're paying for his travel, probably giving him food vouchers, who knows what. And again, was not in this country legally, had no reason to be here. Under President Trump 4 years ago, back in his first term, this guy would have been turned away. He would have not just been paroled into the country. So this idea that the Bible, we just, you know, got overwhelmed or whatever. No. This is somebody you actually interacted with and you let them go. And that's happened in so many cases. And those are the very first people I hope the Trump administration will go after. And under Tom Homan, I have no doubt you're going to see that action very quickly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, one of the other stories I saw in the Daily Signal, it shocked me because, not because I don't believe all these corporations are woke, don't get me wrong. It shocked me because I just never considered that a company would do this. But 42 companies in the Fortune 100 actually have a benefit where they will pay their employees to travel for an abortion?
Yeah. Yeah, and this all happened after the Roe v. Wade decision, where Roe was overturned, and they said, "Well, if you're any, you know, you live anywhere that within 100 miles or whatever in your state, you can't get an abortion, and we'll pay for your travel expenses and to go get one." Look, and this is just virtue signaling. These people, in many cases, they don't advertise all their other benefits for childcare, but they make sure they want to put out a press release letting everyone know we do pay for abortions here at the great, you know, company of Walmart or the great company of Apple. I mean, some of them are not surprising. Others, like CVS, United Healthcare is, you know, advertising they're paying for abortions. And the thing is, Mark and Kim, you know, in some cases like Apple, they pay a lot for parental leave and that sort of thing. So kudos to them on that. But many of these companies, like if you wanted to adopt a child, how much help do they give you with that? Probably
right.
Not a lot. You know, if you need help with child care, like after the child's actually here and you're having, you know, maybe you live in San Francisco, one of these places where these IT companies are, child care is probably very expensive. Mm-hmm. How much do they help you with that?
Yeah.
They save a lot of money, frankly, on the front end by paying $4,000 or $5,000 for you to go get an abortion, because that's a heck of a lot cheaper than paying, you know, paying full maternity leave or certainly helping you pay for child care or what adoption costs these days.
Yeah, I wonder
so
how much
this is.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder
go
how
ahead.
Much maternity leave they're actually giving these women who choose life.
Well, I love it. Many of them call them birthing parents. Not even
that's
women
right.
or mothers. Kim, got to get that right. The birthing
true.
Parent.
That's
but
sick.
Look, it's very clear where their values are as companies. You take a look at it, it's very clear where that company's values are. But, you know, look, I hope we've seen a real pushback on the woke. We've seen a big pushback on the DEI and, like, this is how, you know, companies are trying to advertise. Oh, look at how diverse we are. I think a lot of Americans send a signal saying, we're not interested in how diverse you are. We're interested in how good your company is, how good you are to me as an employee, how good you are to consumers. And maybe they're going to start changing some of their virtue signaling. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, well, let's hope that they're going to do that. And I go check and see if your company's one of them. I was sure surprised.
22 out of 100.
Wow, that's shocking. It really is. But, I mean, besides that, we've hopefully maybe that along with some of these other woke attitudes and policies can be turned around now after President Trump has sworn in. I don't know what influence
and
he can
have. And vote with your feet.
That.
We all saw what happened with Target and Bud Light. Look at these companies. You know, CVS is not the only drugstore out there. Vote with your feet.
Yeah, it's a good point. Genevieve Wood, always great having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Yep, talk to you soon. Genevieve Wood there from Heritage.
I went to Walmart when I was mad at Target, and now I'm just getting... I know Target still has a lot of issues. I've gone back to Target, and now I'm just hating on Walmart. I'm so tired of these companies who do these things, like pay for abortion travel. That's ridiculous.
I learned something yesterday. I'll talk about it when we come back, that absolutely shocked me about getting appointed to boards these days and what some of the requirements are. We'll get to that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Day one, your speaker must address and tackle Amendment 3. Overwhelmingly in Missouri, polls show that Missourians want restrictions on abortions. And yet, with Amendment 3, what do we have? Unrestricted abortion, taxpayer-funded abortion. Oh, and if the person performing the abortion does something and the woman is injured, you can no longer sue. That's what we have. So we have to tackle that, and we will on day one. We have to address the unelected bureaucracy, the administrative deep state that is so deeply entrenched in Missouri on day one.
That is Justin Sparks, the state representative who has thrown his name into the ring for speaker down in Jeff City. And, I mean, I like Justin a lot. I admire him. I think he's absolutely right. And I think he would be a much better choice than Patterson. I think that's his name, who's kind of been given the nod. He's from the western part of the state for that seat. He might have. I had a conversation with a friend yesterday who told me that made the observation that he might have gotten into the game a little too late to pull this off this year. That some of these decisions are already in the works, commitments have already been made, and it's just not clear that he would have a chance of pulling this out at this point.
So when would he have needed to theoretically throw his name in the hat?
About 3 weeks ago. Apparently, there were already some meetings that took place, and this individual felt that had he spoken up a bit sooner, there might have been a better chance before certain commitments were made. And I don't know.
But he threw his name in the hat. I want to say, I mean, pretty close after Election Day, I thought he threw his name in the hat. So
Well, it seems like a screwed up system.
I don't know how much sooner he could have because he just got reelected.
They tend to start talking about leadership positions before elections for the next session when the newly elected people aren't even there to give their input on it. So I don't know what that date is by which, but anyway, this individual felt that maybe he had just waited a little too long. And there are a lot of people down there who... And the biggest difference, really, between Justin Sparks and the guy he wants to replace as a speaker here, potentially, is the fact that the other guy is all in on Amendment 3. I don't mean that he supported it on the ballot, but he's against making changes from comments I've heard or trying to change it, or allowing the legislature. In other words, the legislature can't vote to change Amendment 3. It's in the Constitution now. What they can do is address things like Justin talked about in there by putting it back on the ballot to fix it so that in the next election cycle, somewhere next year, maybe August, maybe November, there would be an amendment on the ballot to repair some of this, to pull it back a little bit from the precipice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure those same outside interests that passed this boondoggle would come in and spend millions to defend it. You have to figure
sure.
They would do that. But Clean Missouri, they were able to fix Clean Missouri. And it's possible they could do it again. What I don't want is somebody who's going to give up. And Justin Sparks wants to go down there and fight. So I support his effort here. I'm just explaining what I was told yesterday, that it may have come just a bit too late to secure the votes he would need to override the person who is believed to be the front runner here.
That's disappointing because I think Justin Sparks would make a fantastic speaker. And, I mean, regardless of what happens, I hope that lawmakers, considering we have a super majority, this should be easily done. They should be able to get something back on the ballot. And I remember, Mark, you and I were speaking with John Lamping maybe a couple weeks ago or so, shortly after the election. And he was talking about, you know, the simple question on the ballot could be something like, is an unborn child a life or something like that? And that would be enough to then potentially it would negate what had just passed with Amendment 3 in our Constitution.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll say something else that was pointed out to me yesterday that was a bit of a surprise. It's a reality these days. We just got done talking about with Genevieve Wood, how woke these corporations are. And I think I mentioned this once before. It might have been earlier this year. I have a friend who has been at the CEO level. And his observation in knowing a lot of other people that are at the CEO level is that once they get the golden ring, which is the CEO job, all most of these CEOs care about is keeping that ring. There's usually a golden parachute attached to it. If they do end up losing their job for some reason, they're set for the rest of their lives. They don't have to worry about it. And they're not willing to buck a woke board. They're not willing to go in and, even if their beliefs are different, they're not willing to go in and say to the board, yeah, I'm not adopting that woke policy. We need to vote on this again. Because they don't want to risk losing their CEO job. And maybe some of them are the reason some of those woke policies are in. But what I'm saying is, if there was somebody who's a CEO who disagreed, many are hesitant to say anything for fear that they would be ousted by the woke members on these corporate boards. And when he told me that, I was a little surprised, and I thought to myself, well, how did all these boards get so woke? And then yesterday, a story was related to me that of someone who had stepped away from politics and was looking for other opportunities. And one of those might have been an appointment to a corporate board that pays, these positions pay pretty well. Like this one would have paid like $65,000 a year for being a member of this board. So you can see if you're on several corporate boards, you can bring in a pretty healthy income without actually having a Monday through Friday job.
So there's no conflict of interest there if you were to serve on, could you serve on a competing company's board?
Who?
Like, so you're saying you could serve on multiple boards and rake in a lot of money.
Oh, sure.
Right.
That happens all the time. I don't know if they're competing boards, but there are people that serve on multiple boards. I mean, you can look them up. That's not hard to find. But the point of the story is this individual was told, I'll put your name in for this position, but they won't put you on the board. And you know why? Because this individual had been a Republican legislator, period. Would not consider you for a board position because you come from the wrong side of politics. They wouldn't put you on the board for that reason.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, though.
It did surprise me. Maybe it shouldn't have, but it did. And this is rampant. This kind of bias. So you should never be surprised with what you see coming out of a Target or one of these major corporations, because they've got a conference room full of board members who are woke lefties.
Well,
they won't even let a dissenting voice be part of the conversation.
So it sounds like there needs to be an overhaul of the boards, which
but
I don't
how
know
do you
how
do
I
that?
Was going to say. I don't know how the heck you would do that. But the other question would be, and I'm trying to even think of an example of a company that would match what I'm just describing or about to describe here. For the companies that have pushed back on DEI and have pushed back on all of these woke policies, how are they doing that if they too have a woke board? Or do they just not? And somehow they have a board that's more diverse or has a board that's primarily, you know, people who are conservative. How are these companies that are going against the grain in that way doing that?
Yeah, I that's a good question. And back to my previous comment, if you don't have a CEO who's willing to push back on it, nobody's going to push back on it. And everybody who works for that particular company is completely at their will, mm-hmm. right? I mean, at their mercy, I should say.
Well, yeah, you don't want to push back on the CEO because then your job is at risk.
Yes, very true. Hey, what's coming up in Kim on a Whim?
Well, a number of companies, big companies, kind of like the ones we were just talking about, Mark, they are freaking out and they're already fear-mongering, warning customers, hey, if Trump puts in place these tariffs that he wants, we're going to raise prices on you.
Ah, here it comes. Get ready. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
At this point, it should come as no surprise that several companies, I'm talking big name companies, are already trying to scare the living daylights out of people, saying that if Trump's tariffs, his plan to impose these tariffs on different, countries, goes through, that they're going to have to raise prices and trying to freak consumers out. Right. So let me just name a few of them for you. AutoZone, Columbia Sportswear, Stanley Black & Decker, Lowe's, Walmart. We were just talking about how Walmart is among the businesses that will pay people, their employees, to travel to a different state to get an abortion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do they understand how tariffs work? I mean, the whole idea of this really is to incentivize these companies to bring production back to the United States. If someone is going to sit there and tell you, you know, if Trump imposes these tariffs, it's going to drive up inflation even more than it already is. You know what you say to them? You say, hey, remember when Trump was president for 4 years? Also, do you remember that inflation was not an issue during his first term? Why was that? Because he had tariffs in place at that point, too. And just listen for their response, because they won't know what to say.
You know, I heard that the other day. I heard somebody, I think the article referenced Walmart specifically saying that some of the items in their store might go up if tariffs were put on, because they would expect others to reciprocate, and that there might be a rush to go ahead and get on Amazon and buy your big screen TV right now, because if it's already on its way being shipped to you by the time Trump gets inaugurated in January, and it would happen after that. And those are the kinds of products that here's my take on it. I think the fear of having a tariff put on is going to cause some of these companies to reverse their bad decisions before it ever gets to that point. Because Joe Biden hasn't threatened them with anything. He didn't care. He didn't care at all what the trade deficit was with some of these countries. Donald Trump's a businessman. He knows how to negotiate. It's the art of the deal.
What's ironic to me is that the Democrats, I mean, Kamala Harris talked about this a lot. She says, you know, we have to tax all these corporate businesses. We have to tax the wealthy people. They're not paying their fair share. And so it's so interesting to me that a lot of these big companies that would be taxed more under, say, a Kamala Harris administration, they're the ones who are so upset with Trump. And he's the one who wants to ease a lot of these regulations against these corporations that the Democrats have put in place. I mean, Trump being in office, a Republican being in office, should be a win-win for them. A lot of these companies have already had to raise prices because of inflation. And guess when that inflation started? When Biden took off. I mean, that was really when it skyrocketed.
Well, and because of the, you know, overspending of the government.
Oh, that too, yeah. You mean our $33 trillion
in
debt?
But they benefited from that, Kim. See, that's why they went along with it. They benefited from free money. Because the people that got an extra $1,500 or whatever it was in a child tax credit, most of them didn't spend that on the child. They went out and bought a 60-inch television for their family room. That's the whole fallacy of giving people free money and thinking that they're going for a specific reason, like the child tax credit. They didn't. Most people didn't spend that on their children. They spent it on a new gun they wanted or you know, repairing the car or whatever the case might have been. They put that money where they needed it. And if they got bad spending habits, then they continued those bad spending habits. They didn't save it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. So those spend policies benefit some of these big corporations. And they were willing, clearly, for that benefit to put up with what every economist said was going to happen, and that is this is going to drive inflation through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
What's interesting is the CEO of Black & Decker, Donald Allen, has already been talking about how they're looking at different scenarios and ways they can combat this. And he's saying the company would consider moving its production out of China into other countries such as Mexico to basically avoid the tariff on Chinese imported goods. Steve Madden was among the other companies that I guess had announced plans to import fewer goods from China. Well, if they're going to move production to here in the United States, I mean, boom, that's what we want. We want to bring this back to the United States.
We don't
want to be so dependent.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand importing goods. It's not like we are never going to import goods. But just like other companies for years have imposed tariffs on us and other countries, I don't get why this is such a big deal and why people are losing their minds over it.
When you're the 500-pound gorilla in the room, you can do things like that. But Joe Biden, the Democrats have never taken advantage of that. They kowtow to foreign countries. Joe Biden just the other day signed how much was it he was giving to poor nations? Was it
$4 billion?
$4 billion to the poorest nations in the world. He's committing $4 billion of your taxpayer money to things like that. When you're the 500-pound gorilla in the room, when you're the guy sitting at the Texas Hold'em table with two times the chips of everybody else, you can start winning because you can just bid up the pot each time and nobody else can afford to get into it. You can do those things. You just have to have somebody with the guts like Trump to do it.
Yeah.
And these companies will start moving their business back to America because they don't want to lose the market.
It's America first. That should not be controversial.
Thank you. Couple of non-economists schooling you here this morning. Come on, folks. It's not that difficult. Coming up, we're hoping to get to a Mike Tobin, talk about some of those kids still missing from the Biden administration's terrible border policy. And we'll talk to Charles Payne from the Fox Business Network. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.